The following program is a production of Beach Booster Radio.
Welcome, race fans. Here's your local racing authority, Sam Chapman, with this week's Sound of Speed on Beach Booster Radio.
Welcome, race fans, and this is the Sound of Speed on Beach Booster Radio, and I'm your host, Sam. Here to recap a great weekend of racing with Formula One in Spain, the Verizon IndyCar Series in Indianapolis, and the NASCAR Camping World Trucks, Xfinity, and Sprint Cup Series were in Dover for three great days of racing at the Monster Mile. We'll get things rolling with F1 in Spain for the Spanish Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton would get the pole in qualifying and lead the field off the starting line, but Mercedes teammate Nico Rosberg would beat the Brit, breaking into Turn 1 and out of Turn 2. Nico's car would lose momentum coming out of Turn 2 as he was in the wrong engine settings, and Lewis Hamilton would attempt to pass on the inside. Nico would throw a block slightly too late, putting Hamilton in the grass. Hamilton would fight for control but lose it on the grass and slide back onto the track, collecting his teammate and taking both Mercedes out of the race on the opening lap. That would hand the lead to Daniel Ricciardo and Team Red Bull. Red Bull would take advantage of the situation and would play some pit strategy with both of their cars, alternating two and three stop strategies. Young rookie Max Verstappen would inherit the lead on his two-stop strategy late in the race, ahead of Ferrari's Kimi Raikkonen. Verstappen would hold the lead for the remainder of the Grand Prix despite a ton of pressure from Kimi to get his first ever Formula One Grand Prix victory. Raikkonen would hold on to second place, and Sebastian Vettel would take the final podium step. The Verizon IndyCar Series would be in Indianapolis for the Angie's List Grand Prix of Indianapolis, as the IndyCar Series drivers took to the Grand Prix configuration of the legendary circuit. Simon Pagenaud would lead the field off of the starting line. As the field filed into Turn 1, Sebastian Bourdais and Tony Kanaan would cross paths, sending both of those cars into the outside wall and out of the race before they could complete the first lap. From there on out, it would be all Simon Pagenaud as he would cruise to his third consecutive win in the Verizon IndyCar Series. Elio Castroneves and Canadian James Hinchcliffe would take the final two podium steps in the Angie's List Grand Prix of Indianapolis. The NASCAR Camping World Truck Series would be at the Dover International Speedway for the Jacob Company's 200. Matt Crafton would earn himself his first win of 2016, securing himself a spot in the inaugural series chase for the Cup. He would hold off a hard-charging Daniel Suarez and Christopher Bell as he cruised to the checkered flag. Here's what Crafton had to say post-race.
Oh, it was a great race. I mean, I had a lot of fun. This is honestly one of my favorite racetracks, and to not win here as long as I have, as long as it's taken me, it's that much sweeter, to be honest. I mean, I've taken some really, really, really hard hits here. I've separated my shoulder. I mean, I've done a lot of things. I've rung my bell a few different times, and to have this Menards Tundra as good as it was today and as bad as it was yesterday, that just shows the team that I have that makes these things as fast and makes it so fun to drive. And the 51, I knew that I had a class act racer behind me, and I felt that I had a better truck than him. I could pull out a little bit, and then I would just try to pace myself at that pace and not let him catch me, and didn't want to overdrive myself and have a little bit just in case we had another yellow flag so I could take off again. And he would catch me, and then I'd pull back away, and he would catch me. And it was just one of those mirror games, and just having enough at the end to be able to put the same victory lane.
The NASCAR Xfinity Series would also be at the Concrete Canyon for the Ollie's Bargain Outlet 200. The field would be set by heat races, which would put Justin Allgaier and Ty Dillon on the front row after those two would each get a win in the heat races prior to the start of the 120-lap feature event. Ty Dillon would take the lead at the drop of the green flag, but would suffer tire issues and begin to fall through the field early on in the feature. Eric Jones would inherit the lead from Alex Bowman on lap 78, and even with the restart with five laps to go, Jones would hold off Darrell Wallace, Alex Bowman, and the rest of the field en route to his second win of 2016 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Here's what the young rookie sensation Eric Jones had to say following win number two of the season.
Yeah, I learned a lot in the heat. I think we both did, Chris and I. And, you know, wasn't sure after the heat what we'd be facing kind of for the feature or the main. We had something going on where the car was just pretty rough as rubber built up on the track. So kind of fought through that and really made some good adjustments to, I guess you could say, crutch that a little bit and fix some of the things that were coming along with the with that. And we weren't great on the long run. We were good enough. But the 88 was definitely a little bit better than us, I'd say, after 35 or 40 laps. But with it coming down to a short run, I knew we were in a really good spot. I just wasn't sure about how many people were going to stay out or pit. And fortunately, enough people stayed out on that last caution that just let us have enough of a gap in tires to stay out front and bring home the win.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series would be at the Monster Mile in Dover, Delaware for the AAA 400 Drive for Autism. Qualifying would be rained out, so the field would be set with first practice speeds, giving Kevin Harvick and Dale Earnhardt Jr. the front row for the start of Sunday's race. The first caution that would come out would be for the teams. NASCAR threw a competition caution on lap 40 so drivers and teams could adjust their cars after raining the area clean the track of all the rubber built up over the weekend. Austin Dillon would be the first driver to have an incident on track and bring out the yellow flag when his number 3 Chevrolet would lose a right front tire, sending him hard into the outside turn 3 wall on lap 185. Lap 356, Jimmy Johnson would have issues getting going on a late race restart with only 42 laps left to go. Johnson's transmission would jam as he and Matt Kenseth would lead the field down to the green flag, causing him to stack up the outside line. Martin Truex Jr. and Kevin Harvick would be the next cars in line and would start to push Johnson, but that only turned the 48 sideways and set off the big one in Dover. Once Johnson was sideways on track and Truex and Harvick had moved to the low line, the track was completely blocked and the whole field would pile in, taking out some major contenders. Johnson, Harvick, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, and Denny Hamlin were all taken out in this accident, and all of those guys had cars that were capable of winning the race. Once the dust had settled, a total of 18 cars would be involved in this big accident with less than 42 laps remaining in Sunday's race. On the following restart, Carl Edwards would find himself in trouble after he ran inside of the top five for most of the day Sunday afternoon. Kurt Busch, Edwards, and Kyle Larson would be battling for position on track when Edwards would cut low, trying to avoid Busch's loose car coming out of turn two. As Edwards moved down the track, he would make contact with the 42 of Larson, sending Edwards head-on into the inside wall, completely flattening the front end of his 19 Stanley Tools Toyota with only 39 laps left to go Sunday afternoon. This would set up the run to the checkered flag, where we would see a great three-way battle for the lead as a veteran would attempt to hold off two young rookies fighting for their first Sprint Cup Series win. Matt Kenseth would have the lead and check out on the restart, but Kyle Larson was hot on his tail as the laps began to wind down. As Larson started stalking the 20 of Matt Kenseth, rookie Chase Elliott would find himself in the mix for the win. Larson would try to get past the 20 car, even laying the bumper to Kenseth a few times to try and get him out of the way. But Matt Kenseth wasn't going to move, and this allowed Chase Elliott to get past Larson for a few laps before Larson would lay the bumper to the 24 car and move him up and out of the way. Larson would drive up to Kenseth's bumper once more before giving him a shove up the track and getting a nose under the 20 car, but Kenseth's car was just too strong in the clean air, and he would drive away from Larson once more. By then, Larson's tires were pretty well done for the day, and he had nothing more for the 20 car, as the Sound of Speed pre-race pick Matt Kenseth would go on to score his first win of 2016. Larson would end up settling for second, Chase Elliott would come home in third for his best finish in the Sprint Cup Series to date, Casey Kane and Kurt Busch would round out the top five in the AAA 400 Drive for Autism. Matt Kenseth had a tough end to 2015 and a rough start to the opening portion of this season. Here's what Kenseth had to say following his first win of 2016.
We got kind of an up and down day. A lot of it just depended on track position for us. I felt like we were at times we were pretty good. At other times we were kind of off. Like I said, a lot of it depended on track position. We had one run that was really, really good, and then never quite got it there again. So it was one of those days where everything lined up for us at the end of the race. We were the only one left out there with two, and we got those couple short runs to kind of cycle everybody else's tires and give us a lot of caution laps to get our tires cooled down. So it all worked out for us, kind of the opposite as I feel like it's been going the last couple months. We've had really fast race cars, and we've been in position to win a lot. This wasn't our fastest car by any means this year, but we're able to do the right things and be there at the end of the race and be able to pull it off.
Points as the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series gears up to go all-star racing. Kevin Harvick leads Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, Carl Edwards, and Jimmy Johnson rounds out the top five in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series point standings. Kyle Larson fought hard but came up just shy of his first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series win. Here's what the young driver had to say post-race.
Yeah, I think we took two tires maybe. Yeah, we took two tires to get into third, get some track position, and was able to get to the lead, and once I got in the lead, it was surprising, you know, how much quicker I was than everybody on the short runs, you know, for 25 laps or so, and I thought maybe I'd get to the lead, and the 78 or somebody would be coming, you know, right behind me shortly, and I couldn't even see him in my mirror after 10 laps, so I knew we had a good car from that point forward, and knew we just had to maintain our track position, and Chad did, you know, a good job on pit box, making the right calls on when to take two or four, and we had good restarts the whole time. And one restart where I don't know what happened to Jimmy, but he got stacked up, and it took out a lot of good cars. And I was, you know, Carl and I were about the only two left that I thought had, you know, the cars to win. And then on that restart, I haven't seen a replay yet, so I don't 100% know what happened, but. From my view, I you know, I got a run on the 19 to go to the bottom to be three wide, and the 41 and him were outside of me, and not sure if Carl got loose or he went to block me or if I came up or what, but I got into him and turned him into the inside wall, so I feel bad about that. If it was my fault, even if it's not my fault, I feel bad about that.
This Saturday night, the NASCAR Spring Cup Series goes All-Star Racing in Charlotte. Points and chase standings are thrown to the side for the weekend, and these drivers race for nothing but the cash. And it's a pretty good prize. These Spring Cup Series drivers will battle a completely new aero package, race format, and only the best Spring Cup Series drivers the series has to offer for $1 million. Be sure to tune in for the first ever Sound of Speed All-Star Race pre-race show Saturday evening before the green flag drops in Charlotte for an amazing night of racing. Until then, you can head on over to the Sound of Speed's Facebook and Twitter pages to keep in touch and up to speed with all sorts of motorsports news throughout the week. Before I go, I'd like to thank Beach Booster Radio. Without them, the Sound of Speed wouldn't be possible. Head on over to beachboosterradio.ca to listen to some great music, shows, and keep in touch with everything Wasaga Beach. Hit the podcast tab at the top of the page, and you can find the latest edition of the Sound of Speed and all the other great shows Beach Booster Radio has to offer. Be sure to check out the blog, where you can find the digital version of the Beach Booster publication, which is always great to read. You can also download the Beach Booster Radio app from the Google Play and Apple App Store for free, and take Beach Booster Radio with you everywhere you go. That's about it for this week. Don't forget to join me Saturday night to get set up for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series All-Star Race, as the best of the best go for $1 million under the lights Saturday night. Sparks are sure to fly, so don't miss this race. Until then, thanks for listening, and have a great night, race fans.
The preceding program is a production of Beach Booster Radio, written, recorded, and produced in Wasaga Beach, Ontario. We thank you for listening to Beach Booster Radio, Wasaga Beach's only locally owned and operated radio station. We are local. We are Wasaga Beach. We are Beach Booster.
Hi, this is Brian Smith, Mayor of the Town of Wasaga Beach, and you're listening to Beach Booster Radio.